starts right now.
Just a few hours ago, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law the so-called Heartbeat Protection Act. It bans abortion when electrical activity can be detected in embryos' heart cells, which is around 6 weeks, again, before most women know they're pregnant.
Well, there you go. That was quick. You had yesterday, you finally had the vote on the House floor, and it was absolute pandemonium in the House. They had to kick all of the people out who were watching from the gallery because they were booing and yelling and screaming and hissing and spitting. I mean, some of those not. But, you know, they were very unhappy. And so they cleared the floor. So they basically had a vote with nobody in attendance other than the legislators to move this forward. And seven, by my count, Republicans voted with the Democrats on this to pass this and send it along to the governor. So the end vote on this was 130. No, that's not right. I got to look this up now. I had it in front of me, and then all of a sudden I moved my cursor. I don't have it in front of me anymore. But yeah, it was, no, I'll get it in a second. Anyway, they voted overwhelmingly. But again, no Democrats switched to vote with the Republicans, and seven Republicans switched in order to vote with the Democrats, 70 to 40. That means 10 people didn't vote. That's weird. Anyway, SB 300 is the Senate version. It now passed in the House. And so it went to the governor, who then signed it last night. Very surprising to me, because typically, you know, if the governor has a big piece of legislation like this, he's going to do a ceremony. And he did. You know, there was a whole group of people in there, mostly women surrounding him, by the way, which I'm glad he did it that way, if only because this persistent myth about abortion is that it's evil, horrible men who hate women, who want to control women's bodies, who want to restrict abortion access, when the truth of it is that there's an awful lot of women who are pro-life. I mean, massive numbers of women. Most of the most active political folks that I know who are working in this area are actually women. And so it's odd how it keeps getting portrayed as if it's a women's issue when there are so many pro-life women. And frankly, there are loads of men who love abortion and believe in abortion and think that abortion is a great thing because, well, sometimes because they think that it's just plain a woman's rights issue, and sometimes because they don't like women and they like to take advantage of them and they like there to be an alternative if they get them pregnant. And that's also a reality, you know, so it's just, there are men who hate women who love abortion, and there are women who hate abortion. I mean, it's a weird thing how the left continually portrays this as a women versus men issue. Almost like it's a sexism thing, you know, to lie about men and to lie about women on the particular issue. It doesn't go into effect, okay? The six-week abortion ban does not go into effect. You heard David talking about this. There's still the state Supreme Court to hear the issue because there's this clause in the Constitution that was ratified a long time ago that says that people in the state of Florida have a right to privacy. Now, there's nothing in that legislation, nothing in that line item in the Constitution that talks about abortion, but some people, and I won't say all or most or anything like that, just some people have thought that that covers the right to an abortion because, you know, at the Supreme Court level, the concept of privacy, the privacy penumbra built into the 14th Amendment that's been incorporated against the states through the long train of Supreme Court cases. It began with Griswold versus Connecticut and went through Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey and then kept going through Obergefell with gay marriage and Lawrence v. Texas with sodomy laws and all. Okay, that whole is all about privacy, a non-enumerated right in the Constitution, according to the Supreme Court. And so they've kind of mixed up the philosophical justifications for keeping abortion legal in the nation at the Supreme Court level with the wording that was put into the Florida state constitution about privacy. And we just have yet to hear. The state Supreme Court is ultimately going to be the ones to make this decision, whether that line in the state supreme or in the state constitution protects abortion or not. If it does, then the 15-week abortion ban that went into effect last year, remember we rebuilt the law with the anticipation of the Mississippi case that, you know, the Supreme Court ruled on so that we could be in line with it when the ruling came out. Well, and then when the ruling threw out Roe versus Wade, essentially, anything was possible, and we waited till this year to go to 6 weeks instead. So all of this is like pending. It is news. It did happen. The governor signed it in this, you know, late night, I mean, I don't know, 10 o'clock ceremony, something like that, in looks like in the governor's office. But, you know, nothing has changed on the ground. The one thing that makes this bill different from the 15-week abortion ban is specifically that from 6 weeks to 15 weeks, there are exceptions allowed for rape, incest, and also for the trafficking is another one. Actually, you know what? I have to go check the bill. Is it rape, incest? Life of the mother has kind of always been a part of this. I'm going to have to go back and read the bill real quick. I know they added trafficking. And I can't remember right now what the other one is, but I think that's right. But again, it's not in effect yet. You would have to provide evidence of some kind, like a police report, or, and particularly when it comes to human trafficking, that's a complicated issue. But if you provide that evidence, that would then allow the abortion to be performed. And so, you know, some changes in the law, obviously a big change in the when the law applies in the state of Florida, if the state Supreme Court rules that the abortion is not protected by the Privacy Amendment to the Constitution, the state Constitution. 517 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my God, the aftermath of this storm yesterday. Did you see Fort Lauderdale, the airport there? Was just underwater? Just underwater. You know, just 26 inches of rain. They got, remember the flood of 2014? That's the level of rain that they got. Remember that, you know, just kind of looks like a weak tropical depression that was sprawled out over from the heart of it, the eye of it basically being Mobile, and the outer bands of it being Fort Lauderdale. I mean, oh my goodness, terrible, terrible stuff going on down there. And, you know, the whole city basically was underwater yesterday. 517 on news, declared a state of emergency, by the way, already yesterday. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. Fantastic place to buy good quality used cars, cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. And for my money, the thing about them that's different isn't just that it's good prices or good selection or that they have a kind of a laid-back, hands-off sort of approach to selling cars that, you know, allows you to be in the driver's seat, both literally and, you know, metaphorically. But the idea is also that they follow up afterwards. I was so surprised. Like, I was happy to buy the car. We were very satisfied with our experience there. And actually, I had already started doing ads for them after we bought the car because of my good experience. And then I got a call 6 months after and a year later from our sales guy, Calvin, just seeing if there's anything wrong with the car. I'm like, why are you calling? You know, that's weird. And it was because he wanted to see if anything, and it turned out one of the physical keys, they fixed it at their expense, no problem, a year after we bought the car. And I thought, well, that's unusual. But I've heard stories from other people of the same thing, that when they had any issue with the car, Frontier took good care of them. No problem. Why? Because unlike the typical perception that a used car dealer is trying to, you know, get you in, sign on the dotted line, and never see you again, and, you know, hope you don't come back on them, Frontier is hoping you come back on them. And if there's a problem, they want to fix it. And if there's not a problem, then you buy that next car. That's the idea. They want to take care of you, and they want to be reliable and trustworthy and dependable for you so that you buy every other car that you're ever going to buy from them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
I'm Scott Trout, attorney and CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Bray Jewelers.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He don't even have his license, Lisa.
Good morning, 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, I did check, and SB 300, I had it right. It was there is an exception built in between 6 and 15 weeks for rape, incest, or human trafficking. Life of the mother not included there, but not, you know, I'm going to have to check on that because typically pro-lifers are fine with allowing abortion in cases where the life of the mother is at risk. The thing historically is that language that pro-abortionists want is health, because health is a very fluid kind of concept. But for life, when we're, you know, dealing with life versus life, I don't think I've ever met a pro-lifer who thought that abortion was unacceptable in that circumstance. Now, what they will say is that sometimes doctors are wrong about their prediction that, you know, you're going to die if you persist with this pregnancy. But, you know, nobody philosophically says, no, that's unacceptable. At least not that I, you know, not the people that I would hang out with and know as pro-lifers. 522 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump was in New York yesterday for another deposition by Attorney General Letitia James. Reports say Trump answered questions for about 7 or 8 hours at their Manhattan offices. It came just about a week after his arraignment on criminal charges related to the alleged hush money case. 38-year-old tech entrepreneur now arrested for the murder of Cash App founder Bob Lee. San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott says Nima Momini has been arrested on one charge of murder and says he and Bob Lee both knew each other. Police have not shared further details about their connection just yet. The family of the Louisville bank shooter says they plan to have his brain tested for CTE. On Monday, of course, he walked into his job at the Old National Bank and opened fire, killing 5 people. The family believes he may have suffered 3 serious concussions back when he was in high school playing football and basketball.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 437-1620. And yeah, I was also right about this. It's not been in the reporting, but the law that went into effect last year for 15 weeks does have an exception for the life of the mother. In fact, in line 194 of the current bill, which is not a change in the law, it's just showing you what the law currently says, that termination of pregnancies after, now it had been 15 and now 6 weeks, is allowed if 2 physicians certify in writing that in reasonable medical judgment, the termination of the pregnancy is necessary to save the pregnant woman's life or to avert a serious risk of substantial and irreversible physical impairment of a major bodily function of the pregnant woman other than a psychological condition, which is the language I was just telling you about, you know, not wanting to protect, you know, sort of unhappiness or other psychological harm, but protecting the life of the mother or the life of the child, or the, you know, from if there's serious medical, serious impairment involved. So, yeah, there's already, it's, you know, the life of the mother. Then you have rape, incest, and human trafficking. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, my goodness. All kinds of interesting things happening if you're, you know, kind of just watching around, including this was so fascinating to me. You know, we talked yesterday a lot about the beach access okay, and Perdido Key, and what the, you know, the 75-foot the Jeff Bergosh, through a request from Mike McCormick, had found out. But there was another announcement that came out in all of that yesterday that I found absolutely fascinating. Eric Gilmore, during the coffee with the commissioner, the public safety director, said this.
Also in Pensacola Beach, I didn't know this as I was looking through the ordinances, trying to compare the two beaches and seeing what we can do. If you get pulled from the Gulf waters on Pensacola Beach as a rescue, if a lifeguard goes out there with a can, pulls you from the water, and say, and you didn't have to go to the hospital or anything, you can't go back in the Gulf for 24 hours. That's something that has to be enforced as well. So I found that out yesterday, so, or the day before as I was reading through ordinances. So there are some things that we have to look at logistically wise for resources, and then we're going to have to look at how do we enforce these things? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that we're keeping the people safe? If we're going to put the people out there, then they got to have the teeth to keep them safe.
Did you know that, Candy? That if you get rescued from the Gulf, you can't go back in for 24 hours?
I do know that.
Oh, interesting.
Because right. I got rescued from the Gulf.
There you go.
Nicely 98.
Done.
Yeah, that's
nicely
true.
Done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went looking, and oh my God, I went so far down this rabbit hole. It was one of those, oh, and this, and this, and this. Okay, so there's this provision. It's section 74, I think it is. That's what I have it in my head, and I'm just flipping to the spot right now. But yeah, there's this section in the laws of Escambia County, or the ordinance of Escambia County. And one of those, and it's basically, it's kind of funny because it's all of the different things that you can't do in parks and recreation areas in Escambia County. All beaches, parks, parkways, playgrounds, piers, recreational areas, recreation centers, and the old Pensacola Bay Bridge, which, of course, you don't have access to now, was the fishing pier. Okay, you'll have it again when they rebuild it. But anyway, all of which is designated as parks and recreation areas. And if you read through, oh my God, the list of things you can't do is fascinating. Did you know that it is against the county ordinances to take any dog, cat, or other animal? They're prohibited from and shall not be allowed on or into the confines of any county park or recreation area, except designated as like a dog park.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
I did know that. They
God, you know everything.
No.
Did you get arrested for that one too?
No. No, Buck Lee, we were talking about
yeah.
it one time because
okay.
dogs aren't allowed on the beach, like when we do bands on the beach and stuff like that. So, and I know that's separate.
I know dogs on the beach, but I didn't know you couldn't even take your dog for a walk in like a county park.
He told me that because I was like, what? That's weird. But yeah.
Let's see. You can't drive, you know, motorcycles, automobiles, motor scooters. No paper, waste, garbage, trash. No big deal. Illegal to make a fire. I mean, I knew you couldn't make a bonfire out on the beach, but I didn't know you couldn't make any fire at all. The sale of candy, ice cream, food of any kind, soft drinks, athletic and sporting equipment, or anything like that is prohibited unless you're specifically allowed to do it.
Right.
You, let's see, sale and consumption of beer and intoxicating beverages in any county park or recreational area. Can't take a beer to the park.
Unless you keep it in a brown bag. Actually, that's illegal. You're not supposed to do that either.
Now, here's...
I didn't get caught doing that.
Here's where things get kind of interesting, because if beer and alcohol consumption is banned in any park or recreation area, can you or can you not take alcohol onto the beach and drink it? Everybody knows the answer is yes, as long as it's not in a bottle.
Correct. Okay? Glass bottle, right.
Okay, but if you read the statute, it's actually kind of interesting because there was a provision that we passed in 2016 that prohibited you from having open alcohol containers like on the parking lot, on the boardwalk, on the sidewalk. And then that sunsetted in 2018 and did not get reinstated. And there's a portion west of the pier on the beach where you're not allowed to have alcohol. There's a special, like, family-friendly area, if you didn't know that that's true, that is true.
I did not know that.
But I was reading the ordinance, and I'm like, okay, the part that specifically protected Pensacola Beach sand for alcohol consumption was part of the 2016 ordinance that got sunsetted. And I called Robert Benner, I said, I mean, I know nobody's getting prosecuted for it. I know what we all do, but when I read these ordinances, it seems like alcohol on the sand on the beach is prohibited as part of a recreational area or a park. And I can't find anywhere in the ordinance where it doesn't say that. And so he said, he talked to Allison Rogers, the county attorney, and it's because in any county park or recreational area, whereas the comprehensive list prior in that same section identifies beaches, parks, parkways, playgrounds, piers, recreational areas, or recreation centers in the old Pensacola Bay Bridge, meaning that that one slice of it allows anything other than parks or recreational areas, which means beaches, but also weirdly means, based on my, you know, amateur reading of this, playgrounds, recreational centers. So you can't take a beer to the park, but you could theoretically take it to a playground in a park, is how I read. I'm just telling you if that's the legal reasoning. It's a weird one. So anyway, like I said, you can't rent any athletic or sporting equipment in a park. Can't camp overnight. Can't discharge firecrackers, rockets, or torpedoes. Can't deface a tree, shrub, plant, building. Can't catch, injure, destroy, or interfere with birds, squirrels, or any animals, except poisonous reptiles. Those are okay. Can't drive or operate a motor vehicle. You cannot picnic or lunch in a place other than areas designated for that purpose. Just interesting things in the ordinance, by the way.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The 21-year-old Air National Guard member arrested for exposing her nation's classified intelligence secrets, set to appear in court in Boston today. Jack Teixeira arrested yesterday, accused of using his top secret clearance to share documents in a chat room called Thug Shaker Central. Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder.
We receive regular training on the proper handling of classified information. As I mentioned, we sign non-disclosure agreements. So those rules are very clear, and anyone who has a security clearance knows that.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the heartbeat bill into law prohibiting abortion procedures once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, usually as early as 6 weeks of pregnancy. Fort Lauderdale Airport going to remain closed until at least 9 a.m. today after flooding there. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 62 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Former President Donald Trump will be speaking today at the annual convention of the National Rifle Association. Former Vice President Mike Pence and some other Republican luminaries will also be appearing at the event that's being held in Indianapolis this weekend. Governor Ron DeSantis, he'll be delivering a video address. The convention coming just days after a gunman with an AR-15-style rifle killed five people in a Kentucky bank. After that shooting, the NRA tweeted that criminals love gun control because it keeps their victims defenseless. The full Senate now ready to vote on an expansion of the controversial parental rights and education law that passed last year. It bans instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity for kindergarten through third grade students. This year's proposal would expand that to pre-K through eighth grade.
In December of 21, I plan to end my life, and you are all doing an incredible job of making sure my bullies know that they are endorsed by the Florida State Senate and Governor Ron DeSantis. You aren't protecting kids.
Cool. Of course, there was a lot of public opposition to that. The Senate's Fiscal Policy Committee did approve it yesterday, the last stop before the Senate floor. The House has already approved their version. South Carolina man caught on I-10 yesterday, booked into jail on human trafficking charges. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says 44-year-old Jose Figueroa picked up two illegal aliens, one in Texas, another in Louisiana, was taking them to Georgia for a fee of $1,100. He was arrested after a traffic stop. Florida Highway Patrol on the lookout for a reckless driver that they say caused a motorcyclist to be seriously injured after a wreck.
The incident was reported at around 8 o'clock yesterday morning on State Road 87 near River Road. Troopers say two motorcyclists were riding when a white Chrysler New York was speeding and got way too close to them. One of the motorcyclists swerved into the outside lane while the other lost control in the median and flipped over. The car left the scene without stopping. If you have any information, you're asked to contact FHP.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford. In an effort to combat social media addiction and mental health effects in its students, the Escambia School District now joining a multi-district lawsuit against several big-name companies.
Between 2018 and 2019, so this is pre-pandemic, there was a 55% increase in the need for safety plans for children 6 to 13 who were at risk of hurting themselves. This is not a coincidence. It's not just a group of teenagers acting out of control. This has become the norm.
That's Carissa Phelps, an attorney with Levin Papantonio Rafferty. The firm will be representing the district in the lawsuit, which is targeting big tech companies including TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be a nice day today with a small chance of a stray shower. High near 77 degrees, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. For your weekend, we do have some showers and thunderstorms starting Saturday evening going through the overnight period. High on Saturday near 78. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it's 62 degrees. Partly cloudy in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 58 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join Whitney Lucas and Sheriff Chip Simmons on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, an event at Five Flags Speedway. All the proceeds from this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Don't miss Whitney and Sheriff Chip Simmons today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't get to stage ambulances. You see those TV shows where an ambulance sitting in the firehouse or is just sitting around. By the time we get the patient to the hospital, our ambulance is being dispatched again to another call. So we actually get dispatched from the hospitals to go out. With the increase in staffing that I mentioned earlier and with the increase of ambulances on the road, we would hope to have something staged further this way. I don't know about on the key, but maybe at Inverity Point or somewhere out here. And we used to try to stage at Pleasant Grove. That was the furthest we staged right now. But we stay so busy, we are not afforded the opportunity to stage.
This is Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County, talking with Jeff Bergosh during his Coffee with the Commissioner on Wednesday and telling what I thought was really quite important news, very different and unrelated specifically to the whole issue of the beach access on Perdido Key. This was the announcement, I guess, that the reason response times, he was asked why a response time out to Perdido Key was so long, and he said, well, the reason is, you know, we always have to triage calls, alpha, you know, beta, Charlie, delta, echo, AB is our low acuity, you know, I've got a headache, basically, C's and especially D's and E's are very serious, And he said, you know, we didn't send a fire truck because it didn't seem like it was necessary. That would have been closer. But the problem with the ambulances is your picture of ambulances is that they're waiting in certain places all around the county, parking lots for calls to come in, which is common. You know, it's what you see on TV. It's certainly what you see in a lot of other places. You see it in Santa Rosa County. I've seen it in many places where I've lived where you just pass. This lot's always where the ambulance is waiting. Well, in Escambia County, we don't have ambulances waiting. They're all in use most of the time. Not all of the time, but much of the time they're in use, which means during peak times when we're, you know, using all the resources we have, especially if there's calls holding and they're holding the wall at the hospitals and stuff like that, they're effectively being dispatched from the hospital. So the arrival time for EMS for you, if you call, depends on how far you live from the hospital, not how far you live from some what would otherwise be a relatively useful staging area. And I actually talked with Eric about this. Like, the goal is to get back to that, to get to where we have enough staff and trucks to be able to do that. I thought that was a really, I mean, concerning note, because if you live in Beulah or the North End or Pensacola Beach or Perdido, you're a long way from, you know, Florida West or Sacred Heart or even Baptist, right? And especially when Baptist moves over to Brent Lane, even farther if you live on the west side. Well, maybe, depending on the use of the roads, okay, because some of the roads are better from that location. But anyway, I thought that was a really interesting admission and wanted to talk about that with Wes Moreno yesterday. He's the county administrator. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. I know we're working on all of this, but to me, that is a radically different picture of response time capability for EMS than what I think in our heads we have of as, you know, ambulances are just waiting in these various places for calls to come in.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's probably a different picture than what folks visualized. And, you know, we are a very, very busy EMS agency. And so what Eric says is exactly right. Our ambulances run hard, and they run very frequently. And so it is hard to stage at some of the out areas when most of your calls or 90% of your calls coming out of the core. So it is a challenge that I think we do the best we can with it. We try to get creative with it. And, you know, as Eric said, we are adding more crews, more vehicles. And I think you'll see that change pretty drastically within the next probably 6 months.
Well, I certainly hope so. And, you know, I hate to kind of repeat what we've already said, but I want to make sure people get the concept. This would be like if we had, instead of, you know, 20 fire stations all around the county, imagine if we had one fire station with 20 trucks all located at Brent 9th Avenue. And yep. The impact on response time for fire that would mean, that's kind of where we're at with EMS. And it's just, to me, that was like a stark picture of kind of the challenges we're under right now. Turning to the other big news from yesterday, obviously Commissioner Burgosh, you know, released the information that he had found based on a request for information from Mike McCormick that these deeds going back to 1957 all seem to indicate 75 feet of public access use as an easement north of the water on Perdido Key. That's, if that holds up based on, I assume, will be some litigation, some judicial interpretation, that's huge news. Have you talked already with Allison Rogers about what this means?
We have spoken about it at length. It was both a surprise. It was surprised quite a few of us. I had never heard that.
Right.
And so, you know, there'll be a verification process that we'll need to go through. You know, the beach changes a lot since 1957. So
right.
We'll need, you know, there'll be some survey verification and some title searches and some deed work and all that stuff. So we'll go through the verification process, but If it you know, turns out that and it does look like that's how it is, once we verify those boundaries and such, that will be huge. It'll be huge in Perdido Key, something that I think will certainly cause quite a bit of discussion.
Yeah.
And maybe in some legal cases, we'll see. But I personally think it's good news if it lets us make the beaches a little bit safer.
Yeah, and I mean, I know the people who live out there probably don't. I mean, the people who live on the beachfront are probably not thrilled about this. At the same time, you know, hey, look at it this way. You got 20 years of pretending it was yours.
You know? There you go.
And it still doesn't dramatically change things, if only because you can walk on the water, the wet parts of the sand now, and it's not like all of a sudden it'll be easy to get from Perdido Key Drive over to that beach. There's still going to be only certain access points. But, yeah, I mean, certainly a big change in public access. What's your advice as the county administrator to the public right now?
Well, I think our advice would be to utilization status quo at the moment until we go through that verification process. And, you know, we'll push as hard and fast as we can through that process. Ever since we found out 2 days ago, I know our legal department's been pretty wide open doing research and doing the verification process and just getting through it. And so we're going to move through it as quickly as we can from a verification standpoint. And then we'll see what our next steps are after that.
All right. And that's what I had told them earlier as well. I just wanted to make sure I heard that we were on the same page with this is, you know, even though you might be entitled to go there, I wouldn't. Not yet. Let's, you know, keep doing what we've been doing. And then, you know, when we're sure that this is right, then we'll go ahead with it. Somebody had asked me this question. I kind of had the same question. We had a committee of the whole meeting scheduled for today. It got canceled. It seems like the cows have been canceled a lot lately. Is something going on? Like, is this just a happenstance? Can you clarify why that's been the case?
Well, I would say there's been a lot of conflict, scheduling conflicts.
Okay.
Today was going to be mainly about ECAT. You know, I told you we hired a consultant doing an analysis of our routes and our vehicles and all those things. So that was what today was going to be. Commissioner May is out of town. He called me earlier in the week. Said, "Listen, I can't make it." And you know, ECAT is kind of his baby, and he likes to be heavily involved in all things ECAT. So he asked if I could move it to a time when he could be there. So he had a scheduling conflict that he couldn't get out of, and that's why today was canceled. But also, you know, I think the last thing, that does make for a long regular meeting, but last time I put some of that stuff on my discussion agenda.
Sure.
So they can talk about it. And so that's what today was. That's usually what it is. It's usually a scheduling conflict.
All right, fair enough. It's sort of a smallish thing, but I thought it was an interesting note. In District 2, for anybody who's familiar with going down to NAS Pensacola, if you take Navy Boulevard and you go down and cross Gulf Beach Highway, at the northeast corner there is basically an abandoned lot, old gas station that's just kind of been there forever. And you guys the board recently voted to basically allow that to be developed into an actual gas station. Do I have that right?
Yeah, we with that vote in, I think we have to go through one more public hearing.
Okay, fair enough.
To remove the restriction of, you know, they got a restriction on their about close proximity to another convenience store or something of that nature. So we're going to remove that restriction basically in the warranted overlay, and that's what that's about, which will allow for the development of that gas station and probably some other things as well.
And I know we've talked, you know, in the past about all kinds of things related to that. From Gulf Beach Highway and Navy down to the base is such an ugly, blighted-looking area that anything we can do in that corridor to make things better, and certainly that corner is a good start to it. So, I think that's a great development in a positive direction. The last thing that I wanted to ask you about is, you know, we had a big conversation about OLF-8. And, you know, the decision to move forward with Horton, you have been talking with them, I assume. You know, you and I have talked about this before, the concern that we are basically abandoning the master plan in order to get a deal done, which is the perception, the people who are concerned about what was developed in the master plan. Can you maybe, I don't know, address that, reassure them that that's not the reality, that you really are and the board really is trying to preserve the elements and essence of the master plan going forward?
The board absolutely is, they will preserve the elements of the master plan as we move forward. That's been a big thing. It's been in every discussion we've had with anybody with any interest in that property. And, you know, this week we've got the attorneys that we'll be dealing with for Horton and attorney offices that we've dealt with before. And that we have a good relationship with. I think I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I think it'll be an easier negotiation process as we move forward. But absolutely, the intent of the board is to maintain the elements of the master plan.
Very good. And just a last kind of a quick thing. It's at the moment not so much affecting us here, but I'm getting reports of like 30 and 40 mile an hour winds out of Okaloosa County. They're under a tornado warning right now, a tornado watch over there. And if you look at this thing on the wind meter, it looks like a tropical storm, but we're out of season. It feels like a tropical storm. Like, is it just that we're not in season? So they thought, let's not name it. I mean, what's going on here?
Well, it's a low pressure system, that's for sure. And it does have the look and feel of a tropical storm. I don't know that it meets all the elements of a tropical event, but sure. It certainly certainly looks and feels. So whether it meets or not, it looks and feels like it. And we, you know, we've got some debris here and there as far as limbs in the road.
Yeah.
Some minor spot flooding here and there. So, yeah, it's be careful till the haul passes over. You know, drive safely.
Even if it doesn't have a name, the wind and the rain can still affect you, especially if you're driving an RV or a truck or something like that. So please be careful out there. And, Wes, I know you and Eric Gilmore keep a close eye on that, and your emergency manager and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate the work. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time, sir, and I will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good one now.
Absolutely. 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm very curious to see what everything turns out with this beach. I mean, really, really curious to see how this all turns out. You know, hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic. I mean, genuinely amazing at it. There's a reason that they sold over 200 homes last year. And even the year before that, I think they were over 200 as well. And she's only been doing this like 6 years now, I think is the number. But one of the things that I was talking to her about the other day is, you know, your perception is that, you know, a realtor is a realtor is a realtor. All realtors are the same. And I mean, rationally, you know, that can't be true. But one thing is, like, there's 3,000 realtors listed on the MLS right now. 3,000. Okay, that's a lot. And 1,600 of them, as of the first quarter, hadn't sold a single house this year. Now, a lot of realtors, in fact, the majority, only sell, you know, two or one or not even any in a given year. And you just have to kind of ask yourself, well, which realtor do you want selling your house? One that's going to sell none in the first quarter, or there's 20 that sold over 20. There's 7 that sold over 30. Christina Leavenworth in the first quarter had 36 sold and 29 more under contract. Which do you want representing you? I mean, you know, maybe you want the person who's, you know, just got the one a year. I don't know. Maybe you do. It's fine. It's your choice. It's your house. Do what you want to do. I'm just saying, for me, you know, if it were me selling a house, I'd want Christina doing it because I know it's going to get done. I know it's going to be a great price. I know she's going to take care of me with all that personal attention. You think, how can it be personal attention with so many clients? I don't know. It's like the Christina Leavenworth miracle. I don't know, but she does it. I know because that's what everybody tells me, the same thing. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here, Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play, Pensacola. Tune in this morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If anything in this life is certain, if history's taught us anything, it says you can kill anyone.
Good morning, 5:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We got an interesting sort of contrast yesterday because, you know, we have Governor DeSantis signing the abortion bill, which is not in law yet. But then at the same time, you had the announcement that his opponent in the previous election, not Charlie Crist, but in the previous election, Andrew Gillum, who he beat by only about 33,000 votes, Andrew Gillum is getting ready to start one of his many trials on Monday, or at least one trial relating to some fraud charges. You remember some of the stuff that Andrew Gillum did after losing the election?
No.
Oh, you don't remember him being in the hotel room with the with the drugs and the male prostitute?
Like Marion Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It was really wild.
Is that true? I guess.
Yeah. So we came really close. You know, we really closely missed that. Which is, like, think if DeSantis hadn't won that election, he wouldn't be running for president. He's not officially yet, but you know where we're at. I mean, all kinds of things would have been completely different in this state. Goodness, it's hard to imagine, honestly. 5:56, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, as you mentioned a minute ago, Governor Ron DeSantis signed that six-week abortion ban yesterday. The legislature gave final approval to that on Thursday. Former President Donald Trump is speaking today at the annual convention of the National Rifle Association. Former Vice President Mike Pence will also be speaking, and Governor DeSantis will be delivering a video address. And a top Russian diplomat says the Kremlin may be willing to discuss another prisoner swap, this time involving Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said on Thursday that it could happen after a Russian court delivers a verdict on the espionage charge against him.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah. I mean, this is back in 2020, but Andrew Gillum was busted in a hotel room with a male escort and a bunch of meth. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
or maybe that's common knowledge, or is he?
Relatively, but you know, you can't know everything, and you know, you weren't working in the news department yet at that point, so.
No, I was working at Cat Country. Yeah. I could tell you what Dirk Bentley was wearing. That's funny,
that's
Andrew
awesome.
Gillum.
Oh, right. This is kind of an interesting note. Remember, I said yesterday how Twitter and NPR had abandoned Twitter because they were labeled as a government source news agency or whatever. Well, that same label went on PBS's Twitter feeds. And PBS has now left Twitter. And PBS, oddly, PBS gets a lot more of their share of funding from the federal government than NPR does, like 10%, something like that. It's pretty high. Anyway, so, but I don't, personally, I don't really think of PBS as a news organization per se, although I know they have a lot of news elements, like the PBS NewsHour and some other things. But weirdly, the NewsHour was still tweeting yesterday, but the main PBS account was not. So I don't know what all the rules are, but, you know. They're unhappy about being labeled as a government-funded news organization, which I have said before, I'll say again, they have incredibly strong liberal lean. They still do great work, and I don't think it has anything to do with the government funding. We have lean, too. I mean, somebody texts me, Andrew, you make it sound like you don't have a lean. Oh, goodness. Yes, I do. I mean, of course I
do. Yes, he does.
I would have to be just incredibly stupid to go on the radio and say, oh, no, I'm just right down the middle neutral. I mean, come on. But that's the point. I don't purport to be, right? I try to only tell you things I think are true. I try to be fair. But I'm not under the illusion that fairness means you have to pretend there's no truth out there or that you can't have opinions and still be fair. Somebody said that yesterday and I thought it was kind of funny. We'll be back in just a minute. Transgressor Ceremony comes up next hour in about 20 minutes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The 6-week abortion ban gets signed yesterday. Also, a Pensacola man hit it big in the lotto. We'll have those stories and more right after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.